Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
One of many very interesting things that happened tonight, probably the most interesting thing that happened was we get in the car, pulling out of our garage. And it's 24 degrees. Roughly 5 minutes later, it is 7 degrees.
Yep. I'm loving it. I've decided this year I'm a winter person. I'm all about it. We want to find out just how cold it's going to get tonight because there's some talk of 30 below wind chill factors. And if you got tickets for the Bears game, I know you want to know about the weather. Joining us right now is Mike Jensen from WGN Weather. Headed home, aren't you, Mike?
Yeah, I took that nice walk out of the building about 15 minutes ago for that cold slap in the face.
Yeah,
that you get immediately as you get outside, and
yep.
You know, you walk around and you want your nose and mouth covered up with a scarf or something because you breathe in that cold air and it stings a little bit. It's winter. We are finally seeing a winter. We didn't really see one last year.
That's true.
So things have changed for us since right after Thanksgiving.
But the official designation, I believe, is nose snapping.
Nose snapping cold. Yes.
That'd work.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other ways you could phrase it. Some of those are not appropriate for radio.
Yes.
But yeah, it's not pleasant. And could be dangerously cold as well, with wind chills tonight that are expected to be between 15 and 25 degrees below zero for the most part. When you get to be that cold, if you've got exposed skin, you know, your fingers and stuff like that, you can have frostbite set in on that in as little as 30 minutes. So, you know, you don't want to be out there very long. I know I was outside for just a little bit today, well before we got as cold as what we are right now, and had to take my gloves off for just a few minutes. And immediately you started to feel it. So, and some of us, you know how it is. Sometimes the gloves just aren't enough.
Yeah.
You can still feel it, you know, in your gloves, you know, through your gloves and everything like that. And while the city itself is expected to stay right around zero, I think most locations tonight, actually I know most locations tonight, will get down below zero, just air temperature-wise. So, you know, the other problem we run into when we get that cold is, if you have one of those houses that sometimes has frozen pipes, just keep that in mind. Maybe you do, you know, you got a little drip going on there. So, it's just, we haven't had to deal with this for a while.
Yeah.
Like I said, last winter was so very mild. In fact, last winter, the whole winter season, we only had 17.6 inches of snowfall. And we've had 17.3 already this year. So that just kind of shows you the change there, right? As cold as can be.
Am I correct, Mike, that the good news is that if you are in the immediate Chicago area, we're missing out on the snow. It's going to be cold, but we're not going to get a whole lot of snow. The snow is going to be, what, south of I-80?
Yeah, the snow is all done. The snow was earlier today, and yes, south of I-80, you could go to, like, say, Kankakee, for instance. They had 3 inches there. You got farther to the south through central Illinois, and places had over half a foot. And there were widespread accidents down by Springfield and Champaign, near Arcola, just really nasty down there. But we kind of had the real cold air kind of helped push some of that snow farther to the south, which was great. I do a lot of work with the folks over at Soldier Field, and they'll call me up and ask for updates on the forecast and everything. And what they were worried about was even if they only had, say, an inch of snow today at Soldier Field, they were going to have to get out there once the snow stopped and get all that not only off the fields, but you're trying to clear the walkways and everything like that.
Oh, yeah.
And when temperatures are as cold as they are, you know, that's just, you know, not only uncomfortable, but could be dangerous for some people getting out there in the real cold. So they were very happy that it didn't snow there. Now, you don't have to shovel the cold, thank goodness, because there's going to be a whole lot of that. You had mentioned the Bears game, and I think for tailgaters, that wind chill, the cold weather advisory runs all the way till noon. So all the way up till kickoff, you're still looking at wind chills that could be in the double digits, certainly throughout the tailgate. And I had forecasted a kickoff temperature of 10. And if it is 10, that would tie for being the fifth coldest Bears game at Soldier Field ever. Wow. The coldest one we've seen in 3 years, going back to when they played Buffalo there in 2022, and it was 9 at kickoff.
I understand. So in 1951, we had a Bears game at Wrigley Field when it was 1 at game time.
Yeah.
1, 10, it all feels the same after a point.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the coldest at Soldier Field was in 2008. It was 2 at kickoff. And, you know, more than 10 degrees, you know, below zero when it came to that wind chill. And so you got folks, though, that will still go. But I can tell you there were more than a few tickets that were available on the secondary market when I checked earlier today.
Yeah.
And for prices, you know, normally wouldn't be able to get tickets on the 45-yard line for what some of these ticket prices were. Next Saturday will be a completely different story, by the way, because the Bears actually play next Saturday at night against the Packers. And right now, it looks like temperatures could be in the 30s for game time at night.
That's going to be great.
Completely different than tomorrow.
Yeah. And our show is going to be split up by Hamp and OB doing the post-game show from 10:30 till midnight. So we'll start our show, hand it off to them. They'll do the post-game. Hopefully it's after a win. Hopefully, because it could be very tense in here if it's not.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back at midnight.
Yeah.
By the way,
that's the Bears.
Yeah.
Because you've lived certain places, but I can't think of another sports team that can impact just the general mood of a city the way the Bears can.
Yeah.
After
agreed.
A victory, after a victory, breakfast tastes better the next day. Everyone's got a smile on their face.
You're right.
You lose, and oh boy.
Mike, you said that these, you know, we shouldn't be outside for extended periods of time. Do you buy some of these players who say the cold doesn't bother them out there and they're out there in short sleeves during these games?
They're nuts.
I think Caleb was one of them who said that it doesn't bother him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is, they're different than us. I mean, they really are. They really are different than us. And, you know, the funny thing is, a couple weeks ago, I was talking with Jarrett Payton, and I said, Jarrett, you know, you were a really good college football player. You actually made it into the NFL for a little while. You obviously have talent. And I said, what was the difference between, say, you and, you know, another running back that maybe gets to play for 8 or 9 years, or like your dad, who was, you know, obviously maybe the best running back ever?
Yeah.
And he said, you know, it's hard work. He says his work ethic is one, and for his dad, it was almost like could not feel pain. You know, he would just work himself to the bone, basically. And so that's what some of these guys are. I mean, they don't feel it. They're just in a different headspace than what we can ever get into. And they'll be out there short sleeves. And I'll throw it out to you. You can answer this question for me. I put an over under at 5. For the number of shirtless fans we will see during the broadcast.
At least.
I'll say 5.
At least.
No over-unders.
No,
so
I
think over.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. I think there's going to be at least, I'm going to say 20.
It's got to be just for the camera, right?
Just for the camera.
When they put the camera on them and then they put the shirts back on.
It's their 15 seconds.
Yes.
I don't know. You know, that 15 seconds is 15 more seconds than really I want.
Amen.
And you're probably right, because there'll be like a group, right? A group of like 5, 6 guys that'll take off there. You know, there's 5 of them. They can spell out Bears if they write it on their chest.
Well, actually, that we have to have enough, because they will all be doing Duh Bears.
Yeah, that's right. So it's got to be 7.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, be careful going home. And
and before we let you go, I have to ask you, Mike, what does the temperature read out on your car right now?
5.
5.
Okay.
It's brisk. Yeah.
Oh, it's brisk. But hey, you know what? I said it tonight. I've got 40s in the forecast for Wednesday, Thursday, and next Saturday.
In fact, we were paying attention, and I'm not making this up. We were paying attention to your forecast. Wednesday is the day we're planning on getting our cars washed.
along with the rest of the world.
And getting our Christmas lights up finally.
Yes. Yeah. I've got others think you're right. It's a chance to get stuff up a week before Christmas. Absolutely.
That's true. And with that in mind, though, the warm-up, though, and we do have some computer models that will go out that far, the chance of a white Christmas are looking very, very dismal now because we're going to melt everything this week, and I don't see anything out in the distance. But for some people, they're like, fine, if it's not going to be a white Christmas, it's easier for us to travel at that point in time. So we'll see. Things can change. But for right now, we just deal with the real cold and look forward to what's coming up later next week.
Thank you, as always, Mike. Pleasure talking to you. Stay warm. Bye-bye.
Same to you. Have a nice night.
Thanks, Mike. That's Mike Jensen from WGN, and he's nice enough to check in with us as he's on his way home. And it's 5 on his car.
And I'm thinking, you know, if I'm playing football tomorrow, I'm wearing bread bags on my feet when I put my shoes on. Did you do that as a kid? You had to wear bread bags on your feet?
Sometimes, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It made a difference.
But I wonder, and I think this may play into how some of the football players are able to be out on the field in cold temperatures. I think the adrenaline makes a significant amount of difference.
But skin is skin. I mean, if it's going to freeze, I honestly think they slather some kind of protective something on them.
I got to believe helmet to elbow still hurts.
Yeah,
twice as much.
Well, wait. What about the ground? Just when you hit the AstroTurf.
But I want to know those big coats they have. Are they insulated or are they
heated?
Is there battery heated or something?
Probably.
Well, we did get some new rules from the Bears about this game, by the way. So if you are a fan headed out there and you've got one of those cool battery vests, I know my wife has one, you will be allowed to bring it in this time.
Good.
Usually they kind of put they shut that stuff down. That you will be able to bring in blankets. But you mentioned the bags on the feet. A lot of people bring in cardboard to sit on or to stand on as kind of a little buffer, a little barrier to keep their feet warm or their behinds warm. Those are not going to be allowed.
No.
Apparently it's too big of a threat.
Cardboard
is too big of a threat. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Well, you don't want to have to walk all the way back to your car with your cardboard, so
invest too much in your cardboard.
Wow. Okay. Well, we'll keep you guys posted on what's going to happen tomorrow, but a listener texted in and said, hope you're staying warm. Oh, we're toasty. Great.
It's fine inside.
You got to be inside. Yeah.
And by the way, we should mention next week, yes, we start at 9 o'clock, but we're kind of are we the buns around the ham and obi sandwich?
They're the donut.
Yeah, okay.
Or we're the donut and they're the whole, no, never mind.
Because we're going to start at 9 o'clock till 10:30.
Right.
Then ham and obi, and then at midnight, we will pick up again.
Right.
But that's next week. But we're going to be doing a lot of Christmas music. But speaking of music, we're going to be talking about music from the 70s, Chicago rock concerts of the 70s. There is a wonderful book that is out.
And we had more fun sitting across the kitchen table talking about, were you there? I was there. We were there breathing the same air back then. That's crazy. So many of the concerts, because that's when I was going to all the concerts, was in the 70s.
Well, we were both in rock radio at that time.
That's right. It's the best music ever. 70s music is the best. Soundtrack of my life? Still the best.
I would throw in 60s and 50s and a whole lot of other. But in terms of concerts, oh boy, was the Chicago area ripe with some of the best concerts ever
in
the 70s.
And they're beautifully documented in this new book, 70s Chicagoland Rock Concerts. And with us in the studio on this brisk Saturday night are the authors of the book, Jim Samaria and Mark Plotnick. Mark and Jim, hey, welcome in.
Thanks for having us, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for writing the book. It's been so much fun around our kitchen table. Were you there? Yes, I was there. Did you see them?
Yeah.
We went through the table of contents and all of... How many bands are documented, Jim?
In the book, there's 50.
50?
Yeah, we could have done a lot more, but, you know, when you have a book published, the publisher says, you know what? You got this much room, so we had to cut down a little bit.
I'm hoping this is volume one in a whole series. Because it's a blatant plug. This book belongs on your coffee table. It would be a great Christmas present. And the Blatant Plug light is flashing, so if people would like to order it right now, where can they order it? How do they get it? What well, do they do?
Oh, there's a lot of places you can get it. First off, Amazon is very easy, but it's also at the Arcata Theater, Des Plaines Theater. They have gift shops there. Valhalla Records in Oak Park, Good. Black Circle Records up in Lake Geneva, Rolling Stones Record in Norwich, Blue Village Vinyl Records in Westmont, at the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum in Joliet, Barnes & Noble, all the Barnes & Noble. And if you're flying anywhere, it's at Hudson's News and Gifts at O'Hare
Airport.
Nice.
Yeah. And at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And the
Yes.
The real Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
One.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were VIP guests there after our first book, where they gave us a behind-the-scenes tour of instruments and apparel and accessories that the public doesn't often see or that they don't have out on display. And we...
You geeked out?
Jim and I were literally 6 inches from John Lennon's, what was it?
John Lennon's guitar from not only from the Ed Sullivan Show the first time, but the rooftop.
Oh.
And I offered them $10 for the John Lennon guitars, and they turned me down.
Oh,
darn. Yeah. They're so unreasonable.
Well, I upped it to 12, and I still didn't get it. Oh,
don't you find when you look at costumes, though, that these guys were wearing, you're like, wow, they were tiny people. Well, you know, those pants are so small.
You know, they had backstage, they had the outfit that Janis Joplin wore at Woodstock. They had Jimi Hendrix's guitar strap.
Cindy Lauper's dress.
Yeah. Yeah, just all kinds of things. And they had just brought in some Beatles outfits that Yoko had donated.
Wow.
And what were they, suits, Jim?
Like, well, it was the gray suits they wore. You know, the white collar. Well, one cool thing, too, that they showed us, but they couldn't open it, obviously, was a time capsule that John Lennon, or Yoko Ono gave all these John Lennon artifacts, I guess. And it's going to be open on his 100th birthday.
Whoa.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So,
very cool.
But they have no idea what's in there. And again, I offered them some money for it.
You're so funny.
Yeah, they said no.
Unbelievable. You know what? Let's get your story. Jim, you are a...
Hey, what's your story, Jim?
You're a rock photographer.
You guys are nosy,
what's your deal,
Jim?
Rock photographer.
Yes.
I had to smile when I found out that you started this with Flipside Productions here in Chicago, because anybody who grew up in Chicago, you knew you went to Flipside for your tickets, for your music, for your surveys, because the WLS surveys were there with Steve's picture on them back in the day. Mm-hmm. So you were working, what, while you were going to school, or how did all that happen?
Well, it's kind of a fun story. And how long do we have, an hour?
Okay.
So anyway, I was shooting pictures at concerts. Started out with a Kodak Instamatic with a little flash cube, and I had tickets.
Now, I'm going to pause you right there.
Okay.
When you started out with the Kodamatic, how did you con your way into concerts to take pictures, or was it a thing then?
Oh, you were allowed to take pictures at concerts in the 70s.
Okay. We just didn't think about it then.
Yeah, just didn't think about it.
Yeah.
And I had great seats to a Rolling Stones concert. It was 1972. It was at the amphitheater. And I took 12 pictures on the roll, and they all came out bad except for one. And oh, my gosh, this is fun. So I started taking more pictures with the Kodak Instamatic.
I'm going to interrupt you again and hold you on that concert, because you and I were at that concert.
Oh, really?
That was part of what I will always say was the greatest rock and roll weekend of my life. 1972. Why the greatest of my life? Okay. That weekend, Elvis, still looking good, still caring about the music, at the, I think it was the stadium. Next night, Stones with, as you remember, Stevie Wonder as their opening act.
Correct.
I mean, that weekend, I'm good.
Yeah, those are pretty, three big names, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
And they all were really caring about the music. The Stones are the greatest garage rock band ever.
Right, and you know, Mick Taylor was still in the band, so they had, you know, the great guitar players.
So you got the one good picture out of the roll.
Oh, okay. Back to me. Okay. So the photo store that I was bringing my pictures into said, you know, you're doing really good considering, you know, you're shooting an Instamatic, because we had the Kinetic Playground, the Aragon.
Sure.
You could walk up to the stage and take pictures. So they said, you should buy a 35 millimeter camera. And I said, what's that? So this was like 1972. And where else did you buy stuff at? I went to Sears, mm-hmm. Woodfield Mall, bought a 35 millimeter camera with a telephoto lens, and kind of self-educated myself. Pictures got better and better. Anyway, I snuck on the main floor of a Led Zeppelin concert in 73, and my pictures came out really good. Mm-hmm. And I knew Flipside in Arlington Heights had pictures on the wall of concerts that another person was taking. I said, hey, can we put these on the wall? And they said, sure. Anytime you go to a concert, bring them, and we'll put them on the wall. So I did it again. I did it again. And then finally, Rich Carlson, who was the manager, said, would you like to be our official photographer? I was 19 years old. Mm. I said, what do I have to do? He said, well, we'll get you backstage all the shows. We'll get you in free. You be our official photographer and take pictures. So he ran it by
how many seconds did it say take for you to say, how many, yeah?
4.2
okay.
seconds. And so he asked Larry and Carl Rosenbaum, is it okay? And they said, sure. So I became their official photographer. So one day I'm buying tickets for Black Sabbath. The next day I'm meeting Black Sabbath. And
yeah.
It was just unbelievably cool, and I did throughout the 70s.
And now you guys, Mark and Jim, you've known each other for almost 50 years now, right?
Yeah, since the late 70s,
late
early 70s,
80s. Yeah.
And, you know, I really didn't know what Jim was doing back then. We were just friends, but we would get together and talk rock and roll music for hours. And we've been to hundreds of concerts. I don't know how many Jim's been to, 1,000?
Easily,
yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what happened was I had gone the conventional route. I went to Loyola University and professional school at the Illinois College of Optometry. I've been playing keyboards, blues, and rock since 9 years old. And I got out of the school, and I said, what am I going to do now? So I got a job at Lyne & Healy selling pianos and organs. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I kind of ended up, I don't know if, you know, I was on the Oprah Winfrey Show in the mid-80s, and it kind of changed my whole career.
But it had nothing to do with music.
Nothing to
do with
shopping.
Music.
It was about shopping.
Yes.
But I was able to get into all these jobs, and then I retired from corporate America about 2010. And Jim, there was a scene in Godfather 3 where, and I'm paraphrasing, Al Pacino says, just as I got out, they pulled me back in. Jim says, you're not retiring. Let's try and write some books based on my photography, his incredible portfolio of photographs from the early 70s. I'm a writer and a marketer and a PR person. So that was our first book. And then we just wrote another one. And this odyssey, this rock and roll odyssey, is just turned into this never-ending adventure that we're on.
Sure.
But anytime you can do something you love for a living, you're never working.
Yeah, you're not working.
And, you know, I was never, you know, I always did a great job at my corporate jobs, but rock and roll.
Were you ever an optometrist?
I dropped out, and it's a funny story. I dropped out in my first year, really hurt my parents, but I was so into rock and roll that instead of studying, I would go see Pink Floyd at the auditorium, and I'd come back the next day for exams. Didn't do very well. I was just so much into rock and roll. But to be honest with you, I was a conservative young man, and I didn't know how to get into the music industry. And I didn't know if that was something I wanted to do because mm-hmm. it's rather precarious.
And keyboard was not as, I may be wrong, but unlike a guitarist or a drummer, it's not like you're going to go out and market yourself as a rock keyboardist
exactly.
at that point.
And I was more of a blues guy, but I wasn't quite good enough and disciplined enough to do it. I didn't realize there were other avenues. I could have been a writer early on. I could have gone into sound engineering or something. But anyways, it all worked out fine. And
well, you gave up Pink Eye for Pink Floyd.
And that, right? That's actually one of the... Johnny, where did you read that? Because that's one of my lines.
No, I'm just thinking. That's what you did.
I think I wrote somewhere in some essay that I wrote that that was it. I gave up Pink Eye for Pink Floyd.
Why don't you have a rim shot going?
Really?
Where are the drummers?
Guys, as Johnny and I were talking about the book, we both focused on something that I didn't know. We were at the same concert. Three Dog Night, International Amphitheater, saw them there at least three times. Mm-hmm. Some of the greatest rock concerts that I've ever seen were at the amphitheater. And Three Dog Night, just extraordinary. I know you don't happen to write about them in this book.
Did you ever actually photograph them, Jim?
I never photographed them back in the day. I photographed them lately in the 2000s, and actually they'll be there. I think it's at the Arcata in January.
Oh, good!
But I did see Three Dog Night. Believe it or not, I grew up in Oak Park, Illinois, and we used to have a thing called the Wild Goose.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And it was
Dex Card's Wild Goose.
Yeah, and they played at the rink, the ice rink in Oak Park, and they used to get a lot of good bands there. And Three Dog Night was one of them.
We were so lucky during that time. If you think about, you know, Mark talking about blues and your love of blues, Biddy Mulligan's up on the North Side.
Oh,
you know, you go in there on a Saturday night, and
do you know, I'm so into music that I have all the ticket stubs going back to 1970, and I have a ticket from Biddy Mulligan's. And it was, I looked at the, it was $5.
Sure.
And it was a concert to see we're friends with Jerry Goodman, the electric violinist from the Mahavishnu Orchestra and the Flock and so forth. And it's $5. And Biddy Mulligan's, you could see all these great blues guys. I wasn't allowed to go to the south side of Chicago to see the, you know, go to the Checkerboard Lounge, so forth. So I would wait till they would come up to Minstrels by Loyola University and Biddy Mulligan's, and that's where I would see all these great blues guys play. And you could see, you would be 3 feet away from them.
Well, 10 years before that, though, Steve, you have your chicken stub from the Beatles.
I will match your $5 ticket at Comiskey Park. The Beatles in $5. $5.
You have me beat. You have me beat.
Yeah.
A Frank Fried production, as I recall.
Frank Fried. Wow. But we were so lucky. You mentioned, Jim, the Kinetic Playground. And we had the Quiet Night. You know, you would have people that were, like, that was their place. So if you became a follower, I became a real big fan of Special Consensus Bluegrass Band.
Oh, yeah.
And they just celebrated their 50th anniversary. And you go up and down Lincoln Avenue, and you hear all this great folk music and kind of alternative folk, but a really cool time.
Yeah, and jazz and blues, Quiet Night. I remember seeing the L.A. Express. What was Tom Scott was in that. I also saw Herbie Hancock there. Of course, I didn't bring my camera. I just wanted to hear the music. But, yeah, there were so many places. And in, if you remember, in Schaumburg, we had a place called Beginnings that Danny Serafin of Chicago opened. And they got a lot of big bands.
Right.
So for all of us in the suburbs, it was a great place.
You mentioned the Quiet Night. I saw Carly Simon at the Quiet Night when nobody knew who she was, just when That's How I Always Heard It Should Be had just come out. And that was a great venue.
Well, speaking of venues out in the suburbs, have either of you been to Hey Nannies?
Because
they're doing some great booking.
We,
I'm friends with Chip Brooks,
the owner. Nice. And Jim is... received photo passes there. We've had friends who've played there.
Yeah.
It's small, intimate. It's small, but the variety of groups that play there, they do a great job.
Yeah.
And another great space, Johnny, is Space in Evanston.
It's our favorite.
That is our absolute favorite. It is a great listening
venue.
Dave Spector
is a friend of ours, and we've had him on our podcast, and we're going to have lunch with him in a Jewish deli in about 2 weeks.
I want an Italian restaurant, but they
go to Manny's.
Jewish deli is owned by Italian Jews. So.
Oh, really?
Okay, I'm going to try and rein us in, because this always happens. Anytime we get involved with something that we're all passionate about, we all start talking about that passion. And I'm going to shine the spotlight back on the book, which is the concerts from the 70s in Chicago. And I'm just going to throw out some names as some of the chapters. Jay Giles Band, Montrose, Bad Company, Led Zeppelin, Jeff Beck, Eric Clapton, Johnny Winter.
I saw them at Aragon.
Okay, 70 Chicagoland rock concerts. That's the book. How did you guys narrow it down? What was the parameters for artists and concerts that you included in the book? Was it, do you have the best pictures, the best stories? How did you put the book together?
Well, yeah, I kind of hit it on the head there. I probably had about 80 to 90 bands we could have done. But, you know, when you get a book published, they say you have this many pages. So we had to cut it down to 50. So it was like, okay, which ones do we do? Of course, we did Who, Zeppelin, McCartney, Stones, the Big E's. And then, as you mentioned earlier, Foghat and Montrose, who wanted like the next level, Rory Gallagher, Savoy Brown, stuff like that. And then you're allowed so many pages, and you have to get that many pages done. And Mark did a lot of great writing in this, and of course he had to edit that down just a tad, but not much. And then what we added to the end of the book was more concerts that was just the picture with no story. Mm-hmm. I also added some backstage stuff because I was kind of privy to meet the bands and do backstage stuff. But that's pretty much how we chose 50, and we chose 50 because of the number. Let's do 50. And that's how it happened. And then with the pictures, you know, depending on where it was going, the books, you could get one picture or two pictures or three pictures. Mm-hmm. And depending on who the artist is, of course, the Stones and the Zeppelin, the bigger bands, you wanted to get more than one or two pictures. But
was it fun photographing the Stones?
No, I was bored. I fell asleep.
Oh, stop. Yeah.
They had to wake me up.
Oh, no, I would think it would be difficult because there's, well, with Jagger, there's so much movement going on.
No, of course, it was absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, you kind of focus on Jagger and Richards mostly and mm-hmm. little Ronnie Wood. It was the first tour with Ronnie Wood, you know, and Charlie was in the background and Bill Wyman just stands there.
Yeah.
You know, he's sort of like John Entwistle of The Who there in the background. So mm-hmm. I took one or two pictures of them. But I focused mostly, no pun intended, focused mostly on Jagger and Richards and, you know, just enjoyed it. And you know, I kind of taught myself to not only take the pictures but enjoy the music, because there are times I would put the yeah. camera down. Now back in the day it was film, so I'd usually shoot only like two maybe three rolls of film. Mm-hmm. So that's basically 70 to 100 pictures, so you couldn't keep shooting. So mm-hmm. sometimes you take a little bit of a break. It's not like digital today where I could shoot
all
many
night.
Many pictures.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I just want to mention that there were a lot of concerts. I know as when Jim was doing these photographs as a young man, he has a different perspective because he's not seeing it like a photographer today would see it. But there were many cases where you didn't bring your camera.
I don't even want to go into that.
Yeah, we talk about this all the time.
If only.
I could probably add another 50 or 60 bands mm-hmm. that I thought I'm just going to go to the show and enjoy, because working at Flipside, you know, I was privy to, if it wasn't a Flipside show, I was privy to really good seats. I'm not going to tell you why, but I did. And I would just go and enjoy the show and not bring my camera. And I regret that because I would have had so many more great bands.
Out of all the bands, The Who, your favorite to photograph?
Oh, by God. Yeah, definitely. I mean, first off, they're one of my favorite bands, but there were so many moving parts. I mean, Keith Moon was crazy. Townsend jumping up and down. Daltrey swinging the microphone. And again, going back to the Entwistle, you take two pictures of Entwistle, you're done, because he just stood there. But yeah, the other three was great. Of course, that's the cover of the book, is Townsend in midair. But yeah, that was by far my favorite. And I actually got the photograph from this summer, so that was really exciting.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
Let me hold you on that for a second. I'm assuming when you photograph some of these people, whether it's the Stones or the Who or whoever, you've seen them a couple times. So you kind of have a feel for what the movement might be on stage. How is it easier or harder for you if you're seeing someone you've never photographed before and you don't know when that moment is going to be? Are you just setting your digital camera to take pictures of everything, or
oh, no.
How do you do that?
I don't use motor drive. I still do everything manual. I'm old school.
Okay.
And it's called, in photography, I'm a trained photojournalist. That's what I did for my career. Mm-hmm. Concerts, even to this day, has always been a sideline, but I was a corporate photographer and I specialize in photojournalism. So it's called the decisive moment. So you just wait for that peak moment of action and you just wait and wait and wait, and then you shoot it. And it's very important to know the music too. Mm-hmm. You know, if you know the music, you know when something's going to happen.
And I'll go back to when we first met you, when we were at the Rialto Square Theater, and you did some wonderful photos of the acts that were on stage all afternoon and into the evening. And you might have been privy to a little bit of rehearsals, but some of the people didn't really rehearse. They just got there and they performed, and you got some wonderful shots.
Well, I've been doing it a long time, 73. So, So it's been a long time.
And, but there was a diverse group of music there that day.
Well, I mean, there's so many elements. You know, you want the composition, you want the decisive moment, as I mentioned before, but also you wait for the lighting and you try to get the angles that are different. You know, I try to do something different every time. You know, whether it's a wide angle lens or a telephoto or mm-hmm. get, you know, right in there, kiss her, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I try to make it a little bit different every time. And what I want to do is I want the person looking at the picture to think, gee, I wish I was there. Or if they were there, I want them to think, gosh, that was a great moment. Yeah. I really loved that show.
Okay, Mark, I have to ask you. Now, there may be, I'm sure there were some photographs that Jim wanted to make sure he got in the book. What are the stories that you had to get? You said, I have to tell this story about how this happened at this concert.
Well, the book, in relevant, what I wanted to really do was I wanted to give people an idea of what the beginnings of these bands, what it was like when they formed. And rather than going out and buying a whole book on a band, I wanted to give people, in a short number of words, what this band was like when they started, where they were in the middle, and how they finished. And I just wanted to put in some unusual trivia, quotes, influences. One of the things that I don't think people understand is who influences these artists. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a real revelation of where they're coming from. For example, if you look at the influences of Emerson, Lake and Palmer or Frank Zappa, they were into all these modern composers like Shostakovich wasn't so much a modern, but Aaron Copland. Mm-hmm. And so I really wanted to give people an understanding of who influenced these bands. And, you know, I wanted to understand that, like, you know, Gene Krupa, somebody who comes from another generation, Frank Sinatra, you wouldn't think that they influenced.
Yeah.
But they did. So I just wanted to write something that wasn't in other books. I wanted to approach it differently.
And you did.
And I did.
You did good.
Yeah.
I'm thinking my mind is racing because I'm thinking about all these concerts. I want to give a shout out to Ron Onesti.
Yeah.
Because thank goodness we've been able to thank him for bringing back the groups that we saw in the 70s. And so many of them are still, they got the voice. They've got the performance, and thankfully we've got the Arcata, and we've got the Displanes, and we've got a Ron Onesti who gets it.
Yeah.
You know, he was on stage with Chubby Checker a couple of months ago, actually inducting him, giving him his Rock Hall of Fame induction. You were there, Jim?
Yes, I was.
That was so cool.
Yeah.
Because Chubby had a gig already the night of the induction. He's like, I can't cancel the gig, which says a lot about him as a performer.
Right.
And so Ron says, well, I got goosebumps when I talk about it because that was so cool for them.
I am one of the house photographers there, mm-hmm. along with Lou Bellotti. And so I shoot at both the Arcata and the Displanes as a house photographer. And they just had Darlene Love there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's 84 years old, and she was fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, she's still got the
still has the voice.
Yeah. Oh,
did you go to the Debbie Boone, Pat Boone show?
Yes, I was there.
Because they were amazing,
too. They were wonderful. Very sweet. I did the meet and greet afterwards.
They look fantastic.
Debbie hugged me.
Did she? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've talked about that Elvis did a number of Chicagoland concerts in the 70s. But I wonder, one of the thoughts that I had in watching Elvis, particularly in his later years, he came out and he would do Las Vegas Elvis and do all the hits and everything. But when he would do Hurt, it was the one point in the evening, to my ears, where the audience wasn't just applauding because, oh, that's Elvis on stage. Yeah, let's hear it for Elvis. But, wow, what a great vocal performance. He cared about that song when he did it. Have you two noticed that there may be, particularly with artists who have been around for a while, they kind of do their Las Vegas thing, but then there are a couple songs, maybe new songs, maybe old songs, but songs that they really still care about and they really give their all. Have you had that perception too?
I think I would have to say that every time I see somebody, they give it their all every time. And I actually asked some of the artists, it's like, if you do the same song every night, how do you make it fresh? And they said, because... Rod Stewart with Maggie May.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I have to play it. They want to hear it. So I try to make it as fresh as possible. Mm-hmm. And that's what they want to hear.
Yeah.
So I put my heart and soul into it. And he said, by the way, it made me famous, you know, more famous. But I think they give it their all. And I would think that's got to be difficult when you're doing the same set every night. And
it's also frustrating, though, as a paid guest watching when they do the speeded up version. That's what we mean by the Las Vegas version. You do the short and speeded. I'm going to do, you know, my greatest hits in 1 minute.
Well, I will tell you this. A lot of times, you know, when Jim and I are reviewing shows, we have to know what the playlist is to help us out. Sometimes we ask the musicians. But I've noticed, Jim, and you've noticed more often than not, they'll go 4 songs. And then the playlist gets thrown out the window.
Yeah.
And that's one of the ways that they keep things fresh, depending on who is the lead guy. For example, with Jorma Kekkonen and Jack Cassidy, they did, 16 songs. The first 4 or 5 were according to the list. And then Jorma looked at Jack, and everything was out the door. You know, they just, and he led, and the rest came in, and that's how they keep things exciting.
So they're reading the room, too.
Well,
and they,
yeah.
You know, they know that people are, like Jim said, they know people are expecting certain songs. But I think it's what they feel at the moment. A lot of these people, I think, play for themselves. It doesn't mean they're not playing for the audience, but I think the number one goal is they want to please themselves, and if they please themselves, they're going to please the people in the audience.
Yeah.
They don't phone it in. Go ahead.
Yeah, John. I just wanted to add that that's what the blues artists do.
Yeah.
So if I'm at Space or Hey Nani and the blues artists, they don't go by set list. And what I have to do a lot of times if I'm doing a review, I'm going to have to track down one of the guys in the band and say, okay, what did you play? And then they go, I'm not sure. Let's see. So what I do is I write down maybe the first 2 lines of the song. And I say, okay, this one says, hey, that's my baby. And they'll say, oh, that's this song. You know, but yeah, the blues guys, it's like, oh, I wish they had a set list. But it's
And it's funny because a lot of times Jim and I will go up to one of the band members and we'll say, help us out. And they'll say, I don't remember.
Wow.
They don't remember what they played. And that's just amazing to me that they can just know how to enter a song without knowing, you know, ahead of time.
Yeah, yeah. Before we get too far away from Elvis, Jim, you actually got to photograph Elvis.
Yes, yes. That was, the 77 tour, second to last one that he did. And it was quite...
Did you do that legally? I mean, they knew you were going to photograph him?
I always do everything legally, yes.
You know. Well, you know what I mean. Because you had Colonel Parker, and I'm thinking, okay.
Good old Tom, yeah.
Did he say, give me the film first before you do anything?
No. And that's one of the few ones I didn't get backstage for, but they did give me first row center, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And like I said, you could bring cameras in back in the day. But it was the loudest ovation I ever heard anyone, and that includes McCartney and Zeppelin and all that. When he came out, just imagine a dark stage, and all of a sudden this guy walks on stage with this white jumpsuit and a white spotlight on him. And they're playing the one with
2001.
Yeah. And he goes into his first song, and the place just went bananas.
Sure.
And I'm there, you know, ready to take pictures, and I got chills on my spine. I go, this is Elvis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, for me, Elvis was probably one of the most difficult acts to write about. Particularly when we did this book, we wanted to celebrate the artists. We didn't want to air dirty laundry. There are sure plenty of things that we could have put in the book, but it was all about celebrating and finding the positive aspects of these acts. And with Elvis, that was a little difficult. And also, how do you put into 1,000, 2,000 words, how do you write about Elvis Presley? But I did learn some things. We actually, a gentleman who wrote a lot of Elvis books, we had him on our radio show years ago, but that was tough for me. And you know, you guys probably know this, but Elvis did not go over very well at the Grand Ole Opry when he started out.
Oh, no.
Very conservative audience.
In fact,
and then he
they
was
told
on,
him to go do something else,
go back to truck driving.
Yep.
And then he was on the Louisiana Hayride, which was a competing show.
Yep.
I know, Steve, you know this, and that's when things started to change for him.
In fact, there is an extraordinary album out. It is a live album that was recorded on the last performance that Elvis did on Louisiana Hayride. And Colonel Parker made an agreement with the Hayride people because he wanted to get Elvis out of that contract and back into the studio and onto RCA and a whole lot of other things. So Elvis did a long show. And you can hear this is when Elvis was becoming Elvis. And he still had Scotty Moore and Bill Black and DJ Fontana. But it was the electricity and the recording itself technically isn't the best, but the electricity was there, and you could hear this phenomenon that was really taking the world by storm.
He was really into black music when he first started out, and he related to people on the wrong side of the tracks, poor people. He was very poor, his family, and, you know, that's how he kind of started out, which the blues is sort of at the roots of a lot of bands.
Sure. Oh, yeah. And congratulations for getting a picture of Elvis. I mean,
oh, thank you.
I would say that that would be like the Holy Grail in my book. It was like, and also to be first row center is pretty cool, too.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I almost got one of his scarves, too.
Oh, come on.
Really. He handed out, I put my hand out, and some woman jumped on my back and took it out of my hand.
Yeah, funny how that happened.
I gave her a good punch. I put her down.
What about the underwear he threw out?
That was my underwear.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he threw it back.
We could go on all night with you guys. This is such a fun book. I hope you'll come back next year.
We'll
talk more because there's so many things that we can cover. People are texting in. I used to work at Beginnings back in 1973. We didn't mention Beginnings, another great venue. The book is available. It's a terrific gift idea, 70s Chicagoland rock concerts. You think another one will happen?
Yes, it's going to be called Never Too Old to Rock and Roll, and it's going to be all the artists from the 60s, 70s, and 80s that I've been photographing in the 2000s.
Do you know when the book is coming out?
We're working on it right now. I mean, obviously, I've got over 250 acts.
Okay. Do you want to do when it's when it comes out? Do you guys want to do a book release party?
We'll have a party on the radio.
Jim will not let me retire real quickly. I remember when Charlie Watts wanted to leave the Stones. Keith Richards says the only way you're leaving is on a slab.
Yeah.
And Jim's never going to let me retire.
I'm going to make him work.
Good.
Yes.
Keep him at it.
Thank you.
Thank you guys both for writing the book. And thanks for coming in on a night like tonight.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thank
we
really
appreciate
much.
It.
We
Happy
appreciate
holidays.
It.
Okay, do you validate parking for us?
We do.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
I've got a stamp. Now, whether or not it works, I'm not sure. But
I just realized that the next time that we will be talking with Patrick Crispin, who joins us now, will be the Saturday after Christmas.
Yes.
Hey, Patrick.
Woohoo! How are you guys doing?
Good.
Well, that I will actually answer that question for you, Patrick, and tell you that the the temperature in Chicago right now, and you might want to pass this on to Christine, the temperature is 5 degrees?
Yeah.
Wind chill maybe 25 below?
I will tell you that Pasadena has had a cold snap, and our temperature today was 70.
Oh, golly. You had 80s last week, which was nuts.
It was 80s last week. It'll be back in 75 on Tuesday. So, but
wow.
And we've been looking at this going, do we really want to go to Chicago?
Yes. Because your boy likes cold weather. And
he adores it. He loves snow. And
I said to Steve tonight as we were driving in, because I was standing in the park, I was literally standing out in the driveway going, oh, it feels so good out here. And I realized I am actually a winter person. I am bonding with the boy. I can't wait till he gets here so we can stand out in the driveway.
And Patrick, I have to share this with you. So there we are. We get in the car, in the garage, pull out of the garage, temperature on the car thermometer, 24. We drive roughly, what would you say?
Around the block.
Five blocks, maybe. Temperature is 7.
No.
Hey,
no.
Tomorrow for the Bears game at Soldier Field, they're allowing you to bring in battery-operated heated vest.
Which they never do.
But you cannot bring in a piece of cardboard to sit on or stand on. Because you might hurt someone with that cardboard. Because a little piece of cardboard can make all the difference in the world when you're standing on concrete. You know, if you got something like that, I don't know. Crazy time.
Yeah.
For anybody new to our conversations, Patrick is the Director of Educational Technology, Keck School of Medicine of USC, and we're going to talk all kinds of computer stuff. And Patrick, maybe a little later tonight we could jump into something that we didn't get to a couple weeks ago, some Christmas gift suggestions for people who are looking for computery stuff.
Yes, yes, yes. When you look at trending topics from this year, along with LaBooBoos, one of the trending topics is AI. And let's start it's with everywhere. A couple of big AI stories in tech news. Of course, AI is tech news. Can I take you to Disney first? Because that was a story that when I came across that last week, I thought, well, that's kind of interesting.
If you follow along with the story, it's like, okay, I know where this is going. I know where this is going. Wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
Disney, if you've been in the media for a long time, you know that Disney loves to sue people who use their characters. The stories of them going after daycares and elementary schools for using Disney characters, it just, you know, it's legendary. Disney's lawyers are just mean. So plant that in your head.
Mm-hmm.
So OpenAI has an AI tool called Sora, S-O-R-A, and it's a video creation tool that they launched back in September. It allows you to create short videos. And you basically just type in what you're looking for. And it's absolutely fantastic. If you haven't played with it, go to sora.chatgpt.com. And until now, if you use that to create videos of a recognizable character, like, say, Mickey Mouse or Darth Vader, you ran the risk of Disney coming after you or the company that you used to create that video. And so Sora has been creating these Disney character videos for a while, and we were all saying, okay, well, they're going to get slapped. They're going to get sued.
Mm-hmm.
So today, actually a couple days ago, Disney and OpenAI announced a 3-year agreement where Disney paid OpenAI $1 billion.
Wow.
Which is like, wait a minute. You are taking Disney's characters and Disney's paying you? What the heck is going on? And it's actually what's going on is that Disney is basically licensing about 200 of their characters. It's not the voice actors and it's not the human beings, but 200 officially licensed Disney characters, Marvel, Pixar, Star Wars. And then you can go and create these videos at sora.chatgpt.com. Some of the videos might actually show up on Disney Plus. And you can also do the Disney characters in ChatGPT images. Now, expect that there are going to be some very, very strict guardrails on this. You can't have Mickey Mouse going in and, like, you know, shooting up Bugs Bunny or something like that.
Right.
But Disney is going to control this very carefully. OpenAI is going to control this. Why is Disney putting $1 billion into OpenAI and not suing them to heck?
Why is Disney not charging OpenAI, saying, okay, you can do this, but you have to pay us money to $1 billion to do this?
And
why?
And I've read the press releases from both Disney and from OpenAI. I linked them in the show notes. I have two guesses. Guess number one is that next year, one of the two big IPOs is going to be OpenAI. OpenAI is going to be huge. And Disney wants to get in on the ground floor of that IPO before it happens.
Because so Disney doesn't have nearly enough money.
it's a great way to make even more money for them and for their shareholders. So they're getting in early on the potential IPO. The other thing is, I think Disney and everybody else in Hollywood kind of recognizes AI isn't quite there yet to create really good content. You saw what happened with the McDonald's ad in the Netherlands, which was just terrible. The Coca-Cola AI ad is, you know, got a lot of negative publicity.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is Disney kind of realizes AI there's a future in this thing. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that we're probably going to use this for pre-visualization. We're probably going to use it to create very simple content. And the price of this is going to go up more and more in the future.
So
if
grab
we get
it
on
now.
The ground fly, yeah. The ground floor, I can get a really good price for my Disney animators so that when the prices do go up, we get the friends and family price for it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what's going on is that Apple or the oversight that Disney kind of realized, you know what? I think this AI thing is the future. Mm-hmm. By the way, in a related story, Disney did send a letter to Google saying, you need to stop using Disney characters.
Oh, now, I think from what I'm reading, historically, Disney has been a little slow on the uptake of technology.
Yes.
So this is like a really, it was shocking when I came across the story because of their history.
Well, I remember, and this was in the late 70s, early 80s, when Tron was being made.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the rumor was that Disney would never in a million years use computer graphics.
Mm-hmm.
They would never do it because hand animation was just the way that animation was going to be done forever and ever because computer graphics just didn't have any soul. And you're right, in the 80s, it didn't. But Disney realized, okay, well, wait a minute. We probably should start doing some things. And then Pixar kind of showed them using Lucas mm-hmm. technology. You know what? You can do this. And now hand-drawn animation is no longer – that's not to say it's not being done and designed by human beings. So I think what you're seeing is Disney's kind of betting that this isn't going to be where somebody's going to type in, make a Mickey Mouse movie, enter, and create a video.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be true artists and animators and everybody involved in the process, but they'll be using this for pre-visualization and storyboards and things like that. So it's going to be a really helpful tool.
So looking at December 16th, there's been a message floating around. December 16th, our world is going to change.
Dun, 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 dun.
Because on Facebook, dun, dun, dun. Instagram, WhatsApp, and Threads, all of our private messages are going to be read. All of our pictures are going to be scanned. And that's all to train the AI models. Every conversation, every photo, every voice message fed into AI. Is this true?
Absolutely not. Not even remotely true. Not at all. Complete garbage.
What are you trying to say?
It's not real. And by the way, yes, I am getting over a cold, or as I've told Christine multiple times over the last couple of days, I'm dying.
You're such a guy.
There is something. I mean, I could break a leg. It is like, yeah, okay, I broke my leg. It's like, I got a cold. It's like, I'm dying.
Yeah, you just had your gallbladder out and you were like, really?
Yeah,
okay,
whatever. Well, okay, fine, whatever. So here's the thing. Meta already is using machine language or machine learning for basically things like spam detection, safety systems, personalized recommendations. They've been doing that forever. Nothing's new there. And that's sort of personalized automation. It's not actually training the global AI model. Here's the thing, and I want you to listen to this very carefully. Meta, Facebook, is not using your private messages to train public AI models like Meta's Llama, and it's certainly not adding your messages to Meta's public AI data sets. It's just not doing it. And besides, if you use WhatsApp or you use Facebook Messenger, those messages are end-to-end encrypted already, so Facebook couldn't actually read them if they wanted to.
Hmm.
So what the heck is going on the 16th? Well, basically on the 16th, Meta said that, hey, you know, if you use our AI tools, like if you use Meta AI or, you know, create an AI generated sticker, we're going to kind of track what you do and kind of personalize your experience. Mm-hmm. That's it. So if you don't use any of Meta's AI tools, you don't have to worry about it. And if you do, all they're going to do is personalize it. They're not looking into your direct messaging. And by the way, Meta announced this back in early October. I just think some people who didn't understand what Facebook's announcement was a couple months ago, kind of got scared. Oh, no, it's AI, and they're feeding all our direct messages in AI. And it's like, that's not even remotely what they're doing.
And
so,
I think we I think we talked about it. I think we touched on it back in October. Now, one of the things that I have noticed over the past week on Facebook, on Google, when you click on some things, you will have pop-ups saying, okay, we've got this AI thing. Do you want to use this to make whatever this thing is you're looking for a little easier to find or to enhance your experience? And I always say, no, thank you.
Yeah, it's completely up to you. And by the way, if you ever want to, you can always go back into your content and ads preferences in Meta and change what is and is not showing up in your feed. So you have control over that. Nothing's changing.
So when we start seeing, and I suspect we will, because I received a couple of messages from people saying, is this true? It's not true. So don't panic.
Yeah.
You know, I had a friend say, well, I'm just not going to use Messenger anymore because I'm not going to have them. These are my private messages with my friends, and sometimes I share pictures with them. It's one thing to be on Facebook, but if this is – and I said, calm down. This is not going to happen. They're not going to take your information and then catalog it and then sell it or use it. I mean, this just went crazy. So,
and not only that, it's Messenger, which is encrypted. They can't read it.
But – again, if you read the warning that gets sent out, and I don't know if you've received, but I've received a couple of them. That's why I was glad we could talk about it tonight. People are freaking out because we don't completely understand what it can and cannot do. And we're like, well, should we really trust them? You know,
and
I feel
so ignorant.
And it
goes back to what's the difference between personalization and training a general data set that's being used for AI? The personalization features, we talked about this 2 weeks ago when we were talking about Google and Gmail. They're using machine learning, but they're not taking your Gmails and training the rest of the world on your Gmails. And that's the same thing with what's going on with Meta and Facebook. They're not training on that. They're offering you a little bit of extra personalization. That's it. No one else is seeing this.
I want to stay with AI, but question, and I don't want to get political, but this is a kind of a political thing. There was a story earlier this week where apparently the White House is saying, we are going to come up with universal AI restrictions because we're not going to leave it up to the individual states because it would be catastrophic. It would be too much of a big deal for AI people to try to find out what the standards are in each of the states. However, for underage kids, we will let the states set their standards. I'm just curious, Patrick, what's your reaction to all that? And again, I'm not trying to be political, but how feasible is any of this to control? What's your thought?
I think it actually does get into, are we going to be a federal system, or are we going to be where there's a system where there are 50 individual states? I think that's something eventually going to end up in the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court is going to decide, can the federal government override and tell the individual states what to do? Because sometimes the individual states realize, you know what, the government just isn't moving fast enough. A great example is with air quality and with what we do in automotives. You know, California set the standards because the federal government wasn't.
Right.
And now they're California standards. In education, Texas sets the standards for textbooks just because they're so big, and all the other states just use their textbooks. Do you really want to have Washington, D.C. dictate those sorts of things? And the same thing comes with AI policy. When it comes with children, we do have to be mindful that there are some risks of giving students access to generative AI, because generative AI can tell them things that may not be true, or tell them the things that they want to hear that aren't true or may not be really good for them. And there's also a lot of states that are starting to look at ways to protect students and kids with social media, which is a big issue we do need to keep talking about.
All right.
We're getting some texts in about a lot of people that, that are asking about something that we haven't talked about for a long time, which is basic computer maintenance.
Right. The listener says, can you give me some information from Dr. Patrick on maintenance to protect my new computer, firewall, malware, that sort of thing? So I thought, let's tackle it.
Yeah, and this actually came up because I was talking to Christine, and we were talking about, you know, here are the things I do every Monday when I get to the office. And she was going, wait a minute, you've never told me to do any of these things. I was going, you know, I probably should write these things down and share these with people outside of my head. So to my wife, I apologize. So when I get to the office every Monday, I do six things. And they're kind of the things that I just do every Monday to start the week. And I recommend you do this yourself. You don't have to, but it's a good idea. One, I always restart my laptop or my computer. Just turn it off, turn it back on. Restarting it actually does a really good job of fixing a lot of problems where the computer can't figure out how to be a computer. So always restart at the beginning of the week. While this laptop, which is what I have, is restarting, I include as part of my weekly maintenance cleaning the screen. I use some 3M notebook and cleaning wipes and just wipe down the screen and then use a microfiber cloth and then use that wipe and microfiber cloth to basically do my monitor, my keyboard, my mouse, my phone, anything else I come in touch with. Mm-hmm. So kind of, you know, it's not actually computer cleaning, but it is in mm-hmm. that you're actually taking care of your computer by cleaning the screen because your screen gets gunky after a while. The other thing I always do, and it seems kind of unnecessary, I always go in and check the operating system. I go to Apple Update or Windows Update and do a manual check. I want to make sure that I'm getting the latest version. It should be automatic. I've got automatic updates turned on, but sometimes some updates fall through the cracks, and I just kind of want to force my computer to make sure I've got the latest versions. Once the OS is updated, once I've done any forced reboots because the operating system has to do the updates, I then double check my antivirus, just make sure I've got the latest updates and any definitions that need to come in with my antivirus. This should be automatic, but again, just belts and suspenders, making sure that your antivirus has got the latest definitions. And the last thing, well, next to the last thing, is I then open every one of the programs that I use every day. In that case, for me, it's Microsoft Office, Adobe Acrobat, Zoom, Firefox, ChatGPT, Slack, and 1Password. Open up every one of those and check for updates. Because that is one of the ways that bad guys get into your system, is not just necessarily through your operating system, but through unpatched vulnerabilities in the software you use every day. So if you can take the software that you use every day, your web browser, your email program, if you're using Word, that would be Word and PowerPoint and Excel, you're just running an update and making sure you've got the latest versions of those. Go for it.
I want to hold you on there for 1 second. As I update my browsers, and I do exactly what you're talking about, there is one browser that I have found has an unusual, quirky thing that happens. That is Opera. When you update Opera, you will say, okay, check for updates. And it'll say, oh, fine. I just checked for updates. You're fine. No, it isn't. Every single time, it will say, oh, it's fine. Click it again. And then it will go out and it will give you the update.
That's weird.
And I found this out because I have this program. I think it's called Patch My PC, which I run all the time. It's a wonderful program, and it will tell you if you have things that need to be patched. It's really, really good. And it has told me, oh, you need to update Opera. Okay. Fire up Opera. Check for update. Oh, we're fine. No. Click it again. And it's the only browser I found that does this. But for those of you who use Opera, be aware of that. You need to click the update the browser in Opera twice.
A second time. Hmm. Interesting. I got one more thing to do that I haven't heard anybody else tell you to do, but I think it's a really smart idea. Your browser comes sort of straight out of the box, plain vanilla, and you get to go and add extensions. These are extra programs that you add to your browser that allows you to do certain things like password managers or, you know, ad blockings and things like that. You should, once a week, manually make sure that your browser extensions are updated. I'm not going to read the instructions on how to do it over the air, but I actually wrote down in our show notes on how to do it in Chrome and Firefox and Edge, what you do to go and get the latest update for your browser extensions. Hmm. That is a really, really good way to keep yourself extra, extra safe and secure. I know those of us who have, there was a browser extension that Chris Peterick put out years ago, and I still use it, that for like about 2 days had been hacked. And by going and getting the update, I guaranteed it that I didn't have that hack and I was safe. Mm-hmm. But it's just one of those things.
Well, speaking of browsers, just a weird thing happened a couple of weeks ago. Steve was using Vivaldi to do some Christmas shopping. Mm-hmm. And I could hear him muttering from the office. And I said, what's going on? He goes, it just takes me there and it won't complete the sale.
And this was a thing that I knew was available, and it was a website that I was familiar with. And I said, yeah, okay, I want to buy this thing for Johnny.
And from the kitchen, I said, it's Vivaldi, Steve.
Yep.
You need to go to a different browser. Really?
There are going to be some websites that will not work with certain web browsers. And in that case, you do need to go with the standard browsers, either Chrome
Firefox did it for him.
Yeah.
Firefox might be able to do it, although it's a small market share for Firefox. But Chrome is sort of the one that everybody uses, or Microsoft Edge, which is also based on Chromium. But Chrome seems to be the default that now everybody is using. So if you can't get it in Safari, you can't get it in Vivaldi, you can't get it in Opera, or you go into a web page and it just isn't working for you, open it up in Chrome and it should work for
Patrick,
you.
Patrick, I cannot bank through Chrome. I have to go to Firefox.
And this is one of the reasons why we have, right now, we have Chrome, Firefox, Edge, Opera, Vivaldi, Brave. That's six that we may have one more. But I am a firm believer in multiple browsers because there will be moments, there will be
websites. You will have a different experience.
Yes.
Something won't work. Okay, try a different browser.
So I wanted to mention that for people who are doing some shopping and you get frustrated, because I had an occasion where I was shopping at a major department store and it didn't like my address because I was putting in the long zip code. Mm-hmm. And if I took out the end of the zip code, it was like fine. I said, okay, but that was a lot of, you know, frustration, and I had tried different browsers, but it was still the zip code that was a hang up. But, you know, back to my experience with Chrome and banking, it's the craziest thing in the world. It just will not play. It will not play nice.
Yeah.
And if I go to the other browsers, it's fine. I can get right into the bank account. I can do all my banking.
Okay. We want to touch on the holiday gift guide because we've had a lot of texts from people saying, okay, Christmas getting close. What about prices and things I should be aware of for the computer person on my list? What do you got, Patrick?
I went looking for things that were under $50, and I don't know what's going on. Actually, I do know what's going on, but I couldn't find anything under $50. Mm. So if you want to give something under $50, give it a gift card.
Good idea.
But if you are willing to spend $60, the Anker 633 magnetic battery.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, my
yes,
Lord.
Yes,
fantastic.
Yes.
Everyone should
These
have
things
one.
Are $60 street pricing. Get actually a discounted Anker. I put a link to all these in the show notes, but I love these batteries.
Yep.
I'm not kidding. I have three of them and have lost one. Mm-hmm. So I've had four. I use these all the time.
A-N-K-E-R.
A-N-K-E-R. This is one, actually, I bought for my son a couple of years ago, and this is the latest version of it. There is a company called Puro, P-U-R-O, Puro Sound Labs, and they have a BT2200 Plus volume limited kids Bluetooth headphones. Let me explain what that means. These are Bluetooth headphones specifically for kids. They can be wired or Bluetooth. They will work both ways. And they limit the audio to 85 decibels. So Good. Your kids' eardrums don't get busted out. Good. These sound fantastic. They're $85 from Puro. You can get a 10% discount on top of that. And I think you may actually have a stacking discount with a promo code that I put in there. Very, 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 very strongly. I love these headsets. I've accidentally bought two. The reason why I say accidentally is Christine left Joseph's first pair on an airplane.
Okay. Now, did you say?
So I had to buy. I had to buy a second pair.
Did you say $35 or $85?
$85. Okay. These are $85.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Very few things are under $50, Steve.
No. Yep. There is one thing that I really, really recommend. Check these things out. I put a link in the show notes. It's the Peak Design Tech Pouch. Every one of us has this small amount of cables and things like that we carry around with us. Peak Design has this pouch specifically made for you carrying your cables and your chargers and your batteries and everything. And the design of this is fantastic. Small ones, $44.96. Large ones, $53.96. I don't have one of these yet, Christine. Hint, hint. It's on my list.
And that's Peak, so, P-E-A-K, Peak Design. And they've got a wash pouch and a tech pouch and a packing cube and bag organizers.
Oh, so great. Oh, and their backpacks are fantastic.
You can get everything on Amazon, too. So you can see it on Amazon. And you know what's frustrating to me being a Prime user is seeing delivery dates January 4th.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what?
Yep.
What's up with that?
Yeah.
And in fact, I'm going to harangue for a second, and I know I'm segueing just a little bit. One of the things that has really ticked me off... There is a Christmas present that I got for Johnny that I ordered on the 2nd of December, and I just got word from them this week saying, oh, well, we think maybe it'll be delivered somewhere after
it's
the
on a
2nd
boat.
Of January or the 17th of January.
Yeah. What? Because you didn't know it was coming on a boat. You had no idea.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, what else we got?
Two more things, and these are actually neat Legos that don't actually work, but they look like they work, and they really are cool. One of them is, everybody remembers the Game Boy from the 90s. Mm-hmm. Well, Lego now has a Game Boy. You can't actually play it, but if you want to, for about $60, they have a replica of the Game Boy, and everybody I've seen... Who's played with this thing and put it together said, this is the coolest thing ever. So if you have a techie in your life who is into gaming and is, you know, Gen X or...
Was raised on Game Boy. Yeah.
Game Boy. You could now have a Lego Game Boy. You can't play games on it. It's just there to look at.
How funny.
The same thing is... And actually, Steve has this one because Joseph gave it to Steve. The Legos Icon Retro Radio.
I love it. It is so cool.
It's $100. It's not cheap, but it looks like one of the old sort of transistor radios that you used to take the beach with you back in the 50s and 60s.
And you can play radio on it, too.
Yep. It's so cool.
Well, the best part of that was after you and Joseph put it together for Steve's birthday, without any hesitation, Joseph says, let me show you what it does. And he takes, he didn't have a phone at that time. He took your phone and he put it in the back.
Yeah.
And we had WGN radio coming through the Lego radio. It was brilliant.
I love it.
You know, Lego has some great designers.
That's great stuff.
Because it seems like in recent years, they've just come up with these fabulous ideas.
Well, and not only the Lego designs, but then the catalogs that they do, like this wonderful Fender guitar and amplifier that then has this Fender-ish guitar amplifier catalog. It's so cool.
That was another great gift.
Yeah.
I got the flower garden, which I adore, which, again, was a something for everyone in Lego.
Honestly, if you're looking for a white elephant, a Lego sets, people go crazy over Lego sets. Even the cheap flower Lego sets. Well, I'm not saying that what we gave Johnny was cheap.
I was going to say, wait a minute. He got the $100 radio and I got the cheap flowers?
There are cheap entry-level flower sets, and people will fight over that.
Have you guys ever gone to Lego World here in Chicago area?
No, we went to the one in Calabasas.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. We're looking at things to do when you guys are here. Like, do you want to go to the Balloon Museum?
We were checking that out.
It looks like fun.
The Balloon Museum looks so cool.
Yeah. There are a couple of pop-ups that are really interesting for just the holidays, and we'll have to talk about all of those. But before you get out of here, let's talk a little bit about hacks, something we should know, because there had been some scare about, again, ChatGPT.
Yeah, ChatGPT, there's headlines for saying that ChatGPT had been breached. It hadn't been. There was basically a company called Mixpanel, which is a third-party analytics platform that OpenAI uses. If you go and you've signed up at platform.openai.com, you haven't. None of us have. You have to be a developer to use platform.openai.com.
Wait, you have to be a what?
A developer.
Yeah. I don't know what I heard there. It's like, what's a never mind.
No, you have to be a developer. Basically, somebody who writes ChatGPT programs. So if you've never logged into platform.openai.com, you and I haven't. You don't have to worry about this. Basically, Mixpanel got compromised, and okay, that's fine. If you're a platform.openai.com customer, your email address might have gotten out, but the things that weren't exposed, no ChatGPT chats, no histories, no passwords, no login credentials, no payment information, govern IDs. It's basically, if you and me, everybody else uses ChatGPT, nothing to worry about. Mm-hmm. So OpenAI caught it, fixed it, and unless you're a platform.openai.com customer and OpenAI contacts you and says, hey, your email address is out there, you don't have anything to worry about.
Is it safe to say that ChatGPT and AI are going to be the hot topics of 26?
I absolutely agree with that. And my prediction, unless OpenAI catches up, I think 2026 is the year that Google finally wins the AI race.
Really?
I think Google's been sort of in the last place for a long time. Some of the things that they've come up with in the last couple months have been breathtaking in its just complete awesomeness. Notebook LM, which is their, you give it a whole bunch of like stories or news articles or journal articles, it's creating PowerPoint presentations that are better than anything I've created, or giving me a podcast based on stories that's just fantastic. Nano Banana, which is a funny but that's their image generator. It's the best image generator I've ever used.
Nano
it's
Banana,
fantastic. Yeah, Nano Banana.
Huh.
Nano Banana.
It makes me think of Rosanna Dana, Dana from Saturday Night Live. When you're in here on the 27th and our show starts at 10:30 that night, instead, since you're going to be in-house, instead of doing our segment at midnight, we'll do an early segment so we can have young Joseph in on the show as well. Let's talk a little bit more about things that you see happening in 2026 in the tech world.
Yeah, some predictions.
Yeah, because I remember when you said to us, buckle up, this is going to be as big as the whole concept of the internet when you first told us about ChatGPT.
And when you first told us about this thing called Google.
Oh, yes. Yep. That's right. A listener says, be careful. Don't wish for too much Christmas snow. If the flight is canceled, Joseph will be upset and put Southwest on his naughty list again.
He did that before.
He did. He was very, very open about the fact we are not flying Southwest because they canceled our trip to Chicago.
We're flying United.
We are talking computer technology with Dr. Patrick Crisman, and we had some questions about YouTube TV.
Yes, and listeners have picked up on the fact that you are a fan, and one guy in particular said, please ask him before the end of the year. I want to cut the cable, and I'm thinking YouTube TV is where I'm going. Your opinions, Patrick?
As long as you have a really good internet connection, in other words, you know, cable modem or a reasonable connection, mm-hmm. I absolutely adore it. You can watch it on your web browser. You can watch it anywhere. You can use it on a TV. You can use it on your phone. It is $82.99 a month. But if you sign up right now, it'll be $72.99 per month for the first 3 months. Mm-hmm. And then it goes up after 3 months to $82.99. I actually have paid that for a couple years now, added the Entertainment Plus to that. So I get HBO Max, Paramount Plus, Showtime, and Starz. That's an extra $30 or $29.99 a month. Mm-hmm. And it has been absolutely fantastic. There are about 100 channels that you get with this. Out of the box, it's the channels that you would normally watch. The other thing that they just rolled out, and they haven't really announced it very well, is because you're going and paying the now $100 a year, $82.99, you can now go to the websites of a lot of these channels and log into them and get additional things from them that you would not be able to get unless you were a subscriber. A good example of this is ESPN Plus. Mm-hmm. That is a new service that ESPN is selling. You don't have to pay for that because as a YouTube TV subscriber, that's part of the contract they just signed. Mm-hmm. You can go in and say, I'm going to sign in with my YouTube TV account and get into ESPN Plus and be able to see extra sporting events that would not be available to you unless you are a paid subscriber.
Now, what kind of what is the term on the paid subscriber? Do you have to sign a year
monthly
contract? It's just a monthly thing. So if I'm tired of this,
you
goodbye.
Can cancel at any time.
Wow. Yep. And they don't ask for your firstborn or anything.
No, not at all.
There had been rumor that after the first of the year, they were going to start offering a basic YouTube channel. Have you heard much about that? Like something that's even cheaper?
They're going to be basically offering sort of $82.99 right now is what is their base plan. There's going to be a base minus. They're not going to call it that. Mm. But it may be, okay, I only want news. That's mm-hmm. all I want. Mm-hmm. Well, there'll be maybe a news price that you pay and only get the news. Oh. Or I only want cooking shows and there'll be a cooking show. Or I only want sporting events. And then it would just give you the sporting events
wow.
channel. And then probably your local channels as well.
Do you have to have anything in-house with your TV, for example, a box of any kind?
Most smart TVs now actually have the ability for you to download an app and run an app on that TV. So the smart TV should automatically have it. If not, then yes, you would need something like an Apple TV, which is very high-end, or a Roku or something like that. But as long as you have a smart TV, most smart TVs made in the last 5 years have the ability for you to download apps, you can download YouTube TV, and it's probably sitting on your TV already.
So
you
that's
just didn't see it.
Why, when you come to Chicago, and you can watch your account
yep.
on our smart TV.
That's right.
That's very cool.
Okay, now how does this work if you, as we do, travel from Chicago to Florida? We want to see the local news stations in Chicago. We want to see the local news stations in Florida. How does YouTube TV handle this? I know we can use Roku, but if you're not using Roku, if you're staying with YouTube, how does that work?
The way it works, and it doesn't work exactly the way I think you're saying. If I am in Chicago and I log into my tv.youtube.com account, it'll sit there and say, you're in the Chicago area. Mm. Have you moved to Chicago or are you visiting? And if you're visiting, it says, okay, I'm visiting. And temporarily, it would show me while I'm in Chicago, the Chicago channels, not the Los Angeles channels, because
okay.
I'm no longer in Los Angeles.
All right.
So if I were to go to Panama City and log in to tv.youtube.com and sit there and say, you're not in Los Angeles right now, you're in Panama City, do you want to see the local channels from Panama City? And you can say yes. So there is the ability for you in the settings through the area feature to say, I'm going to be in a different current playback area. My home area is Los Angeles, and the playback area is based on wherever I am in my web browser.
Very cool.
Now, so YouTube TV would strictly be dependent on what kind of a Wi-Fi or broadband setup you have, right?
You need to have the ability to stream video because you're going to be streaming everything over the internet. Mm-hmm. So if you cut the cable and you don't have home internet, you cannot use YouTube TV. You have to have home internet. I was a Spectrum cable subscriber. I canceled the cable, but I kept Spectrum internet.
Right.
So I use Spectrum for the internet, which is actually a really good price, and then added YouTube TV on top of it because it gives me the ability to kind of say, okay, I want this and this and this, but I don't want this. And it turned out to be significantly cheaper to go with Spectrum for the home internet and then YouTube TV. I think it was $100 less than what I was paying just for cable.
So most services are moving towards streaming, I would assume. And here's where I'm going with this. We have DirecTV. Love it.
Yep.
But it's been really interesting. We rarely will lose DirecTV. But bad snowstorms, okay, DirecTV, satellite, blah, blah, blah. One of the interesting things that they now have, if we're watching something, satellite interruption, oops, we got satellite problems. Okay, we're switching over to streaming right now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they do it seamlessly.
That happened the other night.
The only thing you can't do is you can't record with streaming on DirecTV. Now, can you record on YouTube TV?
Not only can you record on YouTube TV, because it's always streaming, you have unlimited storage for your DVR.
Okay.
Oh, so every night when I say, but we're down to 18%, we've got to erase some things.
You do not run out of space. In fact, let me just double check because I'm looking here. I want to see what's in my DVR, in my library. some of the things that I've recorded. I've got it's only 28, which is kind of weird. I've got the State Funeral of Queen Elizabeth II,
what?
The Paris Olympics, the Rose Parade from last year, the Rose Parade again, Macy's 4th of July fireworks.
You're a geek. It's wonderful.
I'm a geek.
Oh, golly.
Yeah.
Well, our listener thanks you for that information because he said the first of the year he wanted to make a change. And much like us, he's looking at a bill that's well over $200 a month for their cable. Yeah, and you're talking about, in your case, you slashed at least $100 off of your monthly.
All of this is 4K?
No, and it's HD, but you can pay for an extra $9.99 a month. You can get 4K, but honestly, I don't see the difference. It's
really?
You don't need it. Yeah.
With a decent TV,
With a decent TV, you're going to be fine.
Okay, excellent. Well, Patrick, thank you for staying overtime with us. And next time we see you, we'll get you on earlier.
We'll be after Christmas. Well, we're going to see you before Christmas,
but
you'll be on the air with us after Christmas.
Yes, when it's snowing. Hopefully it'll be snowing in here and we'll be like we're in a snow globe. It'll be so cool.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, Patrick. Hugs to all of
Bye-bye.
You, and we'll see you soon. Thank you.
And we will talk with Patrick again on
the
27th.
Yes, 2 days after Christmas.
And one of the things we've been doing is we've been picking out all kinds of after Christmas songs. And we've got some cool after Christmas songs we're going to play.
If you have a suggestion for songs that are appropriate after Christmas, 312-981-7200, text it to us because we're putting together just a library. There are not a lot of things.
But there are some very cool ones.
Yeah. I know the 12 Days of Christmas because the 12 Days of Christmas starts on Christmas and takes us to the Epiphany, which is on the 6th of January. A lot of people think the 12 Days is leading up to Christmas. Well, that's not the case.
Every time you mention 12 Days of Christmas, I hear Miss Piggy going, ba-dum, bum, bum.
It's a good version, though.
It is. We were having some people texting. As a matter of fact, one of the
Stacy.
Texters said, where is it?
That was Stacy. I answered her. She said,
you did. So yeah.
Stacy from Algonquin. Happy holidays, Stacy. She said, is there going to be a shout out tonight?
Yes.
I just want to know because I'm listening.
And I'm going to start with some of the shout outs to some of the countries that check out our blog. And we would love it if you would check out our blog. Go to steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. And we would love it if you would subscribe. It's free. We don't spam you. You only get an email anytime we do a new post on our blog. Which reminds me, one of the things that is new on our blog, some wonderful Muriel Anderson videos that Julian worked on, and they are now up on our blog. So go to steveandjohnny.wordpress.com.
And if you are a guitarist, you will love the camera work that Julian did, because you can see how the woman's fingers are working on
and
that.
And the version of Superstition is just...
It's so cool. To, Julian, thank you for locking in on her hands while she was playing Superstition on the harp guitar, because when you're listening to it, you don't realize what goes into it.
It sounds like three guitars playing, and it's just Muriel.
And as you said, Steve, once again, when you look at those little tiny hands, you think, how? I mean, that's work.
Yeah.
That's serious work. That's upper body strength you have to have to be able to play for hours on end.
I can only dream of being a tenth that good.
Oh, you're singing my song.
Well, Steve always says things like, I want to cut my finger. I go, no, no, you want to get better.
Yep.
This is to inspire you, not frustrate you.
Well, some of the countries that have been checking out our blog, and I would love to know how some of these countries find out about our blog.
Yes.
So this week we have the United States, of course, then Vietnam, United Kingdom, Singapore, Poland, Cambodia, Canada, Netherlands, Colombia, and Bahrain.
You know, I'm thinking that we really get around when we have music videos posted, because many of these people do travel around the world performing, and they have a fan base.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Tommy and Muriel have talked about performing for crowds that didn't speak English, but they knew their songs, and they were there for them.
Yeah.
So that could be part of it, too. Or maybe they just like my recipes.
Well, there's that.
Oh, and we should mention, speaking of the blog, that Patrick's show notes will be posted on our blog. So everything that we talked about, we always say you don't have to panic and grab a paper and pen. It'll come up for you. All right. A shout out. I mentioned Stacy Drager, who is in Algonquin, who's a regular listener, and we appreciate your tuning in, Stacy. Sherry Hanrahan's in Romeoville. George Clemens has been texting tonight. He's in Augusta. George is a fan of Joseph's, and he's the one that reminded us that we don't want snow on Christmas Day when they're flying in, because the boy gets very upset if his plans to come to Chicago to cool off are changed. Bonnie and George are in Scottsdale tonight, where it's been 61 degrees. And speaking of Arizona, our buddy Don Selke is tuned in from Arizona, and he said they're going to have some much warmer weather there tomorrow. Mike is in Elmwood Park, and Rob is in Northwest Indiana, and Bing Besh is out in Winfield.
Bing Besh.
And Jim G is in Wisconsin, and Gary's in River Grove, and Sherry's in Bolingbrook, and Eddie Cruz is out in Joliet. Listening from the eastern shore of Virginia tonight, stay warm. Great show as usual. That comes from a 757 area code. Mark, our buddy from out in the Fox Valley, said started listening at midnight. And he's still with us. He's hung in there for an hour and a half. Also tonight, Jim Bowles says, I bet you miss Florida now. We don't like January in the panhandle. It's 55 degrees tonight, and that feels like 30.
Because we're so close to the Gulf. And the humidity and
it's
off
cold.
The Gulf. Blah, blah, blah.
It's bone chilling.
In fact, 32 degrees in Chicago, we can live with. 32 degrees on the Gulf Coast, no. There is just a difference.
There really is. And we have coats in Florida.
Yep.
You know who the snowbirds are, because they're
we've
the ones.
We've got a good little warm house.
Yeah. The snowbirds are running around in shorts and flip-flops because, well, I don't know if it's that way these days because of travel from Canada.
I'm segueing.
Yes.
But speaking of that, earlier this week, Johnny and I, doing some running around, on our way home, stopped at Walgreens. Johnny runs in. I'm in the parking lot. I forgot to mention this to you. This, I think it was a woman and her daughter. Her daughter, maybe 14, 15-ish. Cold, cold, cold. Shorts. And I'm thinking, I'm sorry.
Wait.
Well,
Steve, next week, our Tom Appel will be in here.
Well, yeah, that's
true. The man will wear shorts.
On a night like tonight,
he's wearing
Tom Appel would wear shorts. You're
yes,
right.
Yes.
There are some people that I don't understand it. But
when you're a teenager, too, you don't wear coats. They drape off your shoulders. You don't pull them up and button them. It's just that you just don't do that.
Julian, you're shaking your head.
I wear vests, so my arms are always exposed.
Yes.
And my mother yells at me, oh, my God, I can't look at you because I'm just freezing looking at you.
I was getting cold watching this girl walk in. I mean,
please. I was out with flip-flops on the other day, and I was standing in the snow trying to adjust some of my lights, and I had flip-flops on. And my neighbor said, girl? I said, no, I'm fine. My feet are hot. But you know that. I always complain. My feet are hot. I can't wear headphones on both ears because I smother when I wear headphones on both ears. And I can't stand to wear socks because my feet get hot.
That's one of the things that first attracted me to her feet are hot.
My hot feet, yes. Tim Galt has tuned in. And Tim had memories of Harbor Lights because we played a jingle by Stormy Weather.
Yeah.
And he said, Harbor Lights, was that the band used to have in? Actually, Harbor Lights was an offshoot
of Stormy Weather.
Brian Lefevre is our great listener from Bridgeport. Chuck Snitchler, speaking of great, he's the best friend of this year. Radio station and our show, listening tonight from Valpo these days. He and Mama have moved.
Did you see the post from, is it Dave Krimnitzer? Listening in the middle of the night, approaching Aruba on the Caribbean Princess?
Yes, how about it?
That is cool.
Yes, Aruba. We have a former boss that's a hot shot for the Board of Tourism.
Tisha Lasort.
I think her dad was like the governor of Aruba or something. Very big deal. Our buddy Bobby Danos is out in Sandwich. Al and Debbie are regular listeners out there. So thank you, Bobby, for tuning in on your AM clock radio. Jan Reinhardt is in the laboratory. Lynn Kinzer is in San Antonio, Florida. Our great friend Diane Vasquez, who is our graphics guru.
Great graphics tonight, too.
I love it. The little snowman. Beverly Ann Goodall is tuned in from Highwood. Quickly, I'll sneak in Carrie Johnson in Palm Coast, Florida, is listening tonight. Peter Jacobowitz is in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. Paul Osha is in Plant City, Florida. Florida is representing tonight. Gene Jacobson is up in Milwaukee. Eric Baum is in Wells Beach, Maine. Sends us another great picture from that part of the world. It's a Christmas tree of bottles.
I love that.
Go check it out on our Facebook page if you haven't already. One of the many, many huge talents. Do we say that every year as we get older? It's been a bad year.
It just seems like this has been a really, really bad year for significant people.
And we lost Robbie Robertson this year. Hands down, one of my favorite Christmas songs.
Yeah. Robbie Robertson, Christmas Must Be Tonight.
I was just reading about the Google Trends topics that trended this past year. And I mentioned earlier, Labubus was one of the biggest things, and AI and ChatGPT. But out of all of the deaths, the celebrity that her name trended more than other celebrities that passed was Diane Keaton.
Interesting.
The top 20 trending terms from 2025, and she's the person that's on there.
And I know after her death, I forgot how many significant movies she had been in.
I know.
Good.
Yeah.
And the more I read about her, what a trailblazer she was.
Unbelievable.
Anybody ever did did she ever do an autobiography?
I believe so, yeah. She's a good writer, too. Such an interesting person, but when you think about the names, it was like every week we'd come in here and say, we lost another, good one, a biggie, a real talent, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, wow, I certainly appreciated her. It's nice to know that a lot of other people were taken to her work as a result of her passing.
We should mention before we run out of time that next week we've got a really unusual show.
It'll be great.
We will start at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's when we start.
Mm-hmm.
Then at 10:30, we're going to pause, and the greatest show on radio will take place, Hamp and OB, from 10:30 until midnight. Then we'll come back from midnight till 2. We're going to have our Christmas party next week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be our Christmas party, Hamp and OB, and lots of fun, and who knows what else.
I turned to Julian. Have you heard that they're limiting the food that's being brought in for Hamp and OB?
Limiting in what way?
Well, I heard rumor that they've decided that they shouldn't be bringing in as much food. Now, next week, they should do that. They should bring in the food.
How much do they usually bring in?
Oh, I guess there's a huge spread that they bring in on Sundays.
Usually, they will have...
the conference room.
From the GN Facebook page, they will just have photos. Forget Hamp and OB. Food photos.
Yeah.
Lots of food photos.
Yeah. Like, we're talking like dozens of wings and pizzas and sandwiches and
cows and buffaloes.
I had mentioned earlier, we were talking about the Bears game, the fact that there are some tickets available because people are putting them on the secondary market because they don't want to go stand around in temperatures with wind chills below zero. You cannot bring cardboard with you to stand on or sit on, but you can bring your battery-powered vest and your heated gloves. They will allow those things. And we were talking about players that will go out with their bare skin.
Yeah.
And I said they must put something on their skin to shield them, to protect mm-hmm. them. Because skin is skin. It's just going to freeze otherwise.
Let me write that down. Skin is
Thank you.
Skin.
Okay. I'm full of it tonight. Lister says that Hamp apparently claimed that they used to put Vaseline on their arms. Now, I'm thinking that's mentholated. How does that help? To me, that would be colder as a shield. Because, you know, when you put Vaseline on your chest, when you got a cough, you can put it on the bottom of your feet.
Yeah.
Did you know you do that on the bottom of your feet for your cough?
I think I've heard that. I've never
and
done it.
Apparently,
but I've heard of
it works.
Kind of reminds me of the stunt people who they'll get lathered in like this goop when they're they're doing fire stunts.
Yes,
yeah.
Prevent them from getting burned, and they're just completely doused in fire.
And it's goop. It's probably the name of the stuff that they slather on them. But I'm thinking Vaseline just seems like it's wrong. It would make me colder. But anyway, they do something, and we'll find out what happens tomorrow when they take to the field. And we have a standing bet that at least five guys will take their shirts off during the game.
Oh, I'm going with at least 7 to 10.
Because you
want
to have
Bears. Yeah. So you got to have at least seven there. So I'm saying 7 to 10 at least. And they'll be sitting next to each other. Oh, before we get too far afield, an important announcement.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. Do I have I need the important announcement button. Important announcement. Important announcement. Important announcement. So you got to do it three times. Everything. You got to do it at least three times. So this is the time when we pitch for our last caller.
Yeah.
And we will pitch for our last caller. So if you want to be our last caller, you should start calling right now, and you can win some goodies from this here radio place. And our last call has a theme.
Mm-hmm.
We have been playing for quite some time. We have been playing
almost
the closing songs by Red Peters.
Mm-hmm.
And each week we say, you know, we ought to get that guy on the radio.
So Julian called the other day.
Would you like to make the announcement, Julian?
But first, let me just say, the next time you call me, you better not scare me to death.
Okay. We were both thinking, okay, something horrible has happened because it was...
Julian said, is Steve nearby? I'm like, oh no, he's leaving us. He's sick. And you say, I've got news. Is it good news? Yeah. Okay, so now take it away.
Red Peters will be joining us on this here program at the start of the new year.
How about it?
Our first show for 2026,
yes,
which will be on January 3rd,
which
Red Peters will join us.
That will be days away from our third anniversary of doing this here show,
yep.
Which
be
is crazy.
Here or be square.
That's right.
I can't think of a better anniversary present than Red Peters.
And he sounds
You talked with him? You've communicated with him? And
He's enthusiastic, and he even sent me, he has a new song. It's really? Called The Fart That Ruined Christmas.
You know, we're going to have to play that next week, because we're doing all Christmas bumps next week. And maybe we'll play that leading into Hampton OB. So.
You've listened to it? Is it
I've listened to
radio
it.
Friendly?
It's, I mean, yes, it is radio friendly, but if you're eating, probably not. Probably not.
Okay. You know,
hold the onions.
Really?
Hold the beans.
Oh. Speaking of eating, listeners have already chimed in to ask what we're having for dinner when we get home. We have choices. We have choices this week.
Mm-hmm.
We have vegetable soup,
yeah.
Which sounds way too healthy. Because my theory is if you stay up until 3 o'clock in the morning and that's when you're eating yeah. dinner, have anything you want. Calories don't count at that time.
And we have some leftover chili, too.
Chili, yes. Yeah. Speaking of farts. Because I do put beans in the chili. So, do you put beans in your chili, Julian?
Oh, we do.
Yeah.
I think that was an affirmative.
Because some people are purists. They go, no, that's not chili if you put beans.
I've never known chili to not have beans.
I know.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Remember Paul Bryan? Oh, those were fighting words. If you said you put beans in your chili, Paul Bryan would get all puffed
yeah.
up and rest his soul. It was one of those hot buttons with Paul Bryan.
Yep.
Don't put chili in. Beans in your chili. That's un-American. I used to make chili for the Indy 500,
yep.
and the pit crew couldn't stand beans
yep.
in their chili.
Yep.
Okay, well, they were fueled with other things. They didn't need beans.
Oops. Yep, there's the...
Oh.
By the way...
What?
You'll notice the Zamboni is kind of lightly sweeping the floor tonight.
Yes.
That's because Krista is manning the Zamboni tonight.
Oh, she's driving it.
Yes.
She's womanning the Zamboni.
She's femaling.
Womanning.
Yeah. Krista Flores playing the part of Big Plug Bob tonight
yes,
on the
yes.
Zamboni.
Krista, who's going to be putting in 10-hour shift tonight.
Yep.
Because when one guy goes on vacation, everybody has to pitch in. So Bob is working some crazy schedule. And he said, I'm going to do my darndest to be here for the party next week.
Good. Good.
We better make a party happen if all these yeah. people are going to make a point of being here. Because Tom Appel is going to be joining us
yes.
in studio next week.
So wearing shorts.
Wearing shorts.
And we will take a picture of Tom
yes.
wearing just to prove the point. Okay. If you would like to be our last caller, 312-981-7200. And
when Red Peters joins us, no, he will not be singing the whole song. Remember, when you hear...
Didn't you tell us that there actually is a cleaned-up version of the
He sent
song?
Me a bleeped version.
Oh, a bleeped?
Really?
Oh, even better.
You have to send me a copy of
oh,
that.
Oh, that's good.
Okay.
So Don tells me that I think you may have meant Vicks, not Vaseline, slathered on the arms. Because Vaseline would not be mentholated. Vicks would be mentholated. Oh, that's where I was confused. Never mind.
Oh, is that where you're confused?
Hey.
Just asking.
You only have three gifts. You're down to two now. Mark says, speaking of cleaned up versions, wouldn't his Christmas song be The Gas Pass That Ruined Christmas? That's not quite as much fun.
Nah.
And we haven't heard the song yet, so we'll see next week. Something to look forward to, along with Hamp and OB.
Again, we start at 9 o'clock next
yes.
week, but we're on from 9 until 10:30, then Hamp and OB, and then we're back at midnight. So it's,
and I'm serious.
And we're having a Christmas party, and it's going to be...
We watch all the Bears games. I am seriously praying that they win, because I'm not sure I want to be in studio if they
yeah.
lose.
Yep.
This place could be a shambles on a Saturday night. I can hear...
And it's going to be Green Bay again.
Yes. This is huge.
And if
they lose, ouch.
They're going to beat Green Bay then.
They have to. Yes, we got the home field. We got the fans. They're going to do it for us.
We got
us.
The home field today, too, and it's going to be cold.
Yeah, but it's going to be 30s next week, so they say. Who knows? Stick around. More to come. All right, who's going to do the drawing? Who's going to draw the number?
You can do it.
No, I don't want... Julian, it's your turn. You get to do it.
Why is it always me?
Oh, is it always you?
Well, because...
It takes the pressure off
because
us.
Because you were able to score Red Peters.
So this is my reward?
So this is your reward.
Yes. Oh, okay. That and a few Scotcheroos.
Well, how about this? Since he'll be joining us on the 3rd of January, we will go with caller number 3, and that'll be... Bourbonnais, Billy Bob, and Bourbonnais.
Wow. We should introduce Billy Bob to Bing Besh. We have a little bees going on there.
Hey, 3B, how you doing?
Can't have a, hey, what do you know? What do you say? Second time caller to you.
So you're in Bourbonnais. Are you Billy Bob?
Yeah, right in the Tri-City area. We got Bradley, Bourbonnais, and Kankakee.
Yeah. You had some snow today, didn't you?
We got probably about, I'm looking out the picture window right now, about 3 inches, me and Biscuit. Say hi, Biscuit.
Another bee.
So Billy Bob and Biscuit from Bourbonnais.
If I ever get a chance, I'll tell you how Biscuit got her name.
Oh? Take 30 seconds, tell us.
Does it need to be cleaned up for radio, or do we?
No, sir.
Okay, well, lay it on us.
Okay,
did you ever have for Thanksgiving get a... Brown and serve dinner rolls for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you put them in the oven.
Yeah.
And when they come out, they're real nice and light and brown. Well, that's the color of Biscuit.
Oh.
Okay.
See, we had a cat that was Cinnamon because he was the color of cinnamon. It was like, duh, of course.
We got a trend going there.
Yes, that's right.
Actually,
that
was a dog that was named Cinnamon.
No, we had a cat. Oh, we had a dog. You're right. A dog, a cat.
Okay.
Oh, I'm so confused.
Have you been into the nog already?
I need some nog.
I thought she was going to ask me what I did for a living.
Yes, tell us.
What do you do for a living, Bob?
I'm the original owner and operator of M&M Incorporated out of Dwight, Illinois. That's the initials M&M.
For what?
It stands for mostly management.
Okay.
Do you just do one show a night, one comedy show?
Well, you got. I'm up here almost every Saturday.
Good.
I listen to you, but usually, I got the with my bad and my diabetes. I got the EBGBs in my legs.
Mm-hmm.
So I get antsy, so that's why I'm looking out the window right now.
Restless legs make me crazy.
Yeah.
When you're sitting in the car or you're sitting in the movie theater and you just want to kick because your legs are
Free plug for MagnaLife.
Really?
Well, that's what I use. It helps a little bit.
Well, just a little bit.
Does pickle juice ever help you?
I heard about that, but I heard it from Moises Alou. He used it for something else, though, besides his feet.
Mm. Well, actually, we're told that it's not uncommon to find pickle juice in athletic locker rooms because if they get leg cramps, that's what they drink. Yeah. They guzzle pickle juice.
And I think
I put soap in a sock. You ever hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or you put it under your fitted sheet.
Superstitious or not, but it seems to help me.
Well, that's just like I was saying, Vicks on the bottom of your feet when you have a cough. It seems like it's crazy that it would help. But they say, in fact, it does help. It makes a difference. It's like, how does it get from your feet to your chest if you're coughing? I don't understand.
Well, anyways, I'm looking forward to hearing that
Red Peters.
Interview.
Yeah, Red Peters will be joining us on the 3rd of January.
And Lord willing, we'll all be here.
You started that back in like 2006 is when I first started listening to your show.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, when you used to be on more than, once
a
week. You used to be on every night.
Yes, we were, about 20-plus hours a week. Well, it's a pleasure to finally meet you after all this time, Billy Bob. So if you'll hang on for a second, we're going to get some information, and we're going to send you an official WGN Radio T-shirt. And we do appreciate your listening for all these years.
Yeah. So Billy Bob from Bourbonnais and Biscuit, and said, I thought he was going to say something about similar to, what was it, Hush Puppies, how Hush Puppies got their name when you would just toss the biscuit and say, Hush Puppy.
Well, no, you toss the the little round ball of cornmeal. Yeah. That's not a biscuit. It's a very different thing a hush puppy is. Well. And when you throw...
Now you're making me think of the White Fence Farm.
Did we go to a restaurant where it was called the Throwed Rolls, where they would throw rolls?
Yes. Oh, where was that?
Were we in Missouri in the Ozarks? And when you raise your hand if your table needed rolls, literally, Julian, they would throw them at you across the restaurant.
Fact, wasn't that the place we went to the night that we got to
the Ozarks,
to Joplin, Missouri, and it was like the only place that was open.
And it was hopping.
Yeah.
And they were just throwing rolls. I know this sounds crazy if you've never experienced throwed rolls. Not thrown, but throwed. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so we haven't decided. It may be vegetable soup, but that sounds way too healthy.
Yeah.
Because it's got 10 good vegetables in it, no meat, or chili if we want to stay up for a few hours.
Yeah.
Or we might get crazy and do a burger again. That was awfully good last week.
That was. I think I'm leaning toward burgers.
Because we had already gone home in a snowstorm, and I shoveled.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reminded by many listeners, don't you have a bad back? Why are you out there shoveling? Because it was like lifting
It was literally
air.
Powdery.
It was unbelievable. It was magical. It was beautiful.
And Johnny didn't do the whole driveway. She did this little path.
Well, I had
to protect. You wanted to protect some
lights.
Of the plugs and
yes.
things like that.
Because I knew that if they came out to blow the snow later in the day, that I didn't want everything to be covered up. So these are first world problems that I'm dealing with.
Again, a quick reminder, next week we start at 9, then we stop at 10:30, mm-hmm. Hampton OB, then we're back at midnight, and mm-hmm. it's going to be very, very strange.
Be here yes. or be square.
Thank you guys for hanging out with us.
Yeah.
Thank you for Krista and Julian and
Sylvia.
Ryan and Sylvia.
Yeah, thank you. Of course, thank you guys for tuning in. We appreciate it, and we'll catch you right back here next week on WGN.
Stay warm and stay safe.